Who knew this would happen? A magic potion could save my heart. Who knew that these feelings had a name? I'm worthy of change, same as you are. Mirror, mirror, don't you judge me, don't you dare. Who knew I was capable of loving? Who was there staring back? I said staring back at me. Ooh, it's been a long time coming. I love my shell, I love my scars, enough for the both of us. I love myself, no I don't need help. I needed a safe space for me to be free, free, yeah.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Transitional Wisdom Podcast, where Nash and I discuss all things trans and queer related from a variety of different perspectives. Our goal here is to share stories and experiences in the hopes of connecting with others and also furthering education surrounding trans-related issues. I think it's important for us to know that we're all so beautifully different, but hey, we're not alone.
Okay, so let's talk about my drama.
All right, let's just get into it.
Let's just talk about my drama, okay? I mean, if I'm being honest, I much prefer when things go my way and not my way. So this is not exactly like the most enjoyable, but... So, I had my appointment with the psychiatrist, and for the evaluation, I don't remember if that was already happened or if I was having it happen like the day after we talked. I can't really remember, but this is part of the problem of us being best friends and also doing this together, because I forget what I tell you as like, hey friend, let me update you on nonsense, versus like, hey, did we record this and share? Like, so let me know if I repeat myself, I guess.
I'll try, but you know, my memory is not the greatest.
Yeah. So, okay. Basically, where I think we left off last time was that I had at least one letter done from a therapist, a trans therapist that wrote one for me. Was in the process of getting one from the person that I do see for my my healing work and therapy. And then I also was working on getting an updated, I think they call it like a psychiatric evaluation. I'm honestly not sure what they really call it, but that from the original psychiatrist, psychologist that did it 4 years ago for me. Yes. She's up in Seattle. So she, we had our appointment. And we, you know, discussed some updated stuff. It was pretty similar to the first time around. You know, normal questions, what's my support system like? How am I feeling day to day? You know, any concerns, regrets from the first time around? You know, has anything changed? Am I still with the same partner or a new partner? You know, a lot of the like red tape questions, which, something I don't think I shared last time, which I keep remembering about and still just being blown away, is the therapist, the trans therapist that I had met with, Van. One of the things that they said to me was, because I said to they asked me, is there anything specific you want me to include in your letter to the insurance company that, you know, is important to you or that you feel might help, et cetera. And the first thing I said was, I was like, yeah, I think that you should include that I am still with my same partner that I've been with from the beginning of my transition and through all of my surgeries, that, you know, we've been together for over 8 years, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Van kind of was like, may I ask why you want that included? Or, you know, I don't remember exactly how the back and forth went, but essentially was asking me like, sort of, you know, what's my thought process on this, or why is it important to me? And I said, you know, I think it would just help to show the type of stability that I have in my life, that I am well supported and loved, et cetera. And Van was like, I have absolutely no problem putting that in there for you if you want. But the way that I try to run like my practice and the way I do things, especially with insurance, is to not put things like that unless they outright ask, because they feel that it speaks directly to like that gatekeeping and basically like insurance kind of like using an example like me as an example. So saying like, you know, a trans person should have X amount of years with a partner or should have live-in support or, you know, something like that. And basically taking what are not technically standards yet for insurance companies and using it against us almost. So I thought that was really, really interesting because I thought that what I was offering was purely for to my benefit. Like, you know, look, I have a strong support system. You know, my friends that were there for me the first time around will be there for me this time around. Like, I thought that was all speaking to positive things. And then to kind of hear where Van was coming from with the that thought process, I was just blown away that I never considered that and how we actually do have to consider how damaging it can be to include things that should just be purely positive.
Mm-hmm. Because it can be weaponized against other people looking to have the same surgeries. Yep.
Weaponized against us, like overall as the community. Isn't that insane?
It's wild. It's absolutely wild.
It is wild. So I've been thinking about that a lot. So anyway, when it came to my psychiatric evaluation, unfortunately, the majority of the conversation was, you know, kind of like all the things that I was just sharing about with Van's thought process. So it was a lot of that kind of like gatekeeping type stuff. Not saying she was being gatekeepy. She had to do this because this is what the insurance required of her. So she was directly doing what, you know, they required from her. But I do find it really interesting how, you know, those things really do kind of like come into play and we don't necessarily even know to think about that. So I was very grateful Van shared their thought process with that with me because I just really think it shifted my outlook on like, be careful what you share, you know, be careful what you don't, you know, like I have always,
Oversharing is sometimes, I know I'm the same way. Cause I always think like you're being proactive, you know, you're being like, hey, I did all these things that I know you're going to ask about here. Yeah. They are anyway. And then that can come around and bite you.
Yeah. It doesn't even matter which one of us says this, because I know that we've talked about this personally between us and like, we both feel the exact same way. Like we both will go above and beyond to do way more than we need to, or even should have to do to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know that we've totally talked about that so many times, and that's honestly, and that was like that again, kind of, I think I talked about that in the first part of this episode we released, where it's like, yeah, I went out of my way to sort of like cover all of my asses and their friends, you know, like not just one of my ass, like all of them to have this not be a thing. So anyway, really frustrating. But so had that psychologist appointment, got the letter from her. So I got the letter from her and then the two other ones that I needed. So three total, sent them to my surgeon's office, Dr. Chen's office, and those were sent to my insurance company. Now, simultaneously, so you all can understand the timeline, how quickly insurance can work when they want to screw you versus how quickly they work when it's in your benefit. So Monday was when I had the appointment with the psychologist, okay? Wednesday, 2 days later, that's 48 hours in case I'm not being clear enough. 48 hours later, I reached out to Dr. Chen, told him where I was at. The last letter was, you know, I was going to be getting the last letter within the next day and would have them to him, you know, by Thursday night. He needed to submit them Friday because that's the timeline that my health insurance gave us, you know, that 2 week timeline to do all this stuff. So Monday had the appointment. Wednesday talked to Dr. Chen to make sure we were all on the same page. Wednesday called my insurance coordinator to make sure we were all on the same page. Insurance coordinator, we didn't speak when I called, but in the interim of waiting for him to call me back, I got a phone call from my primary care doctor at UCLA. Now, I don't remember how much I went into with the UCLA doctor issue last time. Do you?
I don't even know if you covered it, to be quite honest. All right.
So real quick backtrack, because I didn't think the primary care doctor was as entwined in this entire nonsense as he truly is. So really quick backwards, about 2 months ago, so before any of this insurance stuff for my stage two fallow started, I got a bill for over $1,000 for one single appointment with my HRT doctor. Mm. These appointments should be no more than $40. So I was like, this makes no sense, but I'm going to put this on the back burner because I'm a little bit too stressed out with other stuff right now. I will let this bill just sit for a little bit and I'll take care of it in a few, like 2 weeks or something. Right. So, you know, I put it aside, prioritizing, whatever. And then when all this insurance stuff started, somehow we got back to this primary care doctor, and I was told that my primary care doctor was not in network with my insurance company. So
who had already been in network before?
It was already in network.
It's not like this was a new doctor. Yeah. Okay.
Nothing new. So I'm trying to figure this all out, you know, and basically then that's when the insurance stuff started with my fallow. So I simultaneously was trying to figure out how much of this issue with my insurance rejecting my primary care doctor has to do with my insurance denying the stage 2 fallow, because it wasn't making sense. My primary care doctor's only job in this whole scenario was to write what was called a gap extension letter. And that letter was to be sent from his office, the UCLA office, directly to my insurance company. And the letter was basically asking the insurance company that, acknowledging that although Dr. Chen is not in network, he's not contracted with my insurance company, so he's not in network with my insurance company, that he must be the one to perform this surgery for me, mm-hmm. due to a few different reasons. Like, one of the reasons was proximity. One of the reasons was he's the doctor who did my first stage 1, and therefore it's like safest for me to have this continued with him, et cetera, et cetera. So it was basically asking for my insurance company to treat him as an in-network surgeon, because otherwise I'd be paying, you know, whatever, $100,000 of cash that I don't have. So I'd be selling everything I own and more for the next several years to be able to do this. So anyway, So that letter was sent in months ago, first of all. Every time I called the insurance company to check if the letter was received and approved, et cetera, I think it's here. I can't confirm for you. Call back in a week. I think that we have confirmation it's here, but, you know, I can't really tell you where it's at. You can call back like in a couple days. I stopped calling back because I was like, okay, they're either, you know, just pulling shit, or I'm going to get a letter that it's denied, you know, like mm-hmm. just, I'm not getting anywhere with calling. So let that go for a little bit. And then that's when this insurance stuff started with my surgery. And so me trying to figure out, like I said, how we were talking about before, how you and I go like every route possible, me trying to be the investigator here, figure out what could possibly be going wrong that my surgery is getting denied when I'm halfway done and have half of a functioning peepee, you know, like, doesn't make any sense to me. So I started backtracking, and that's when I remembered the thing with the primary care doctor. And I said to myself, I wonder how much of this has to do with him and how much of this has to do with they're just like rejecting it because of the whole he's not in network thing, even though he is. So I called them. They couldn't help me. They had no idea what was going on. They said they are 100% in network with my insurance company. There's absolutely no way that that's true, you know, blah, blah, blah. Called my insurance coordinator, have the same conversation. He tells me he's going to work on it. He's going to figure it out with the insurance. He has no idea either, because he's seeing that UCLA is covered. So while I'm dealing with getting these letters, I'm also dealing with basically staying on top of the insurance coordinator to make sure that he's on top of the insurance company to try to figure out what's going on with the primary care doctor and the gap extension letter, because we still didn't get clarification or confirmation that it was received or it was okay or anything. Okay, so that's the backtracking a little bit for more backstory. Now, back to that really cool timeline I was giving you of when I had the appointment on a Monday, and then on a Wednesday, 2 days later, I got a phone call. So back to that. On that Wednesday, when I got the phone call from the insurance coordinator, I then learned that my insurance was denying my primary care doctor as being in network. Are you ready for this one? Because the address that was on the letter was a different address than what they have on file for him.
So that is some roundabout bullshit.
See, ask me what the solution is. Ask me the solution, please.
You get an updated letterhead and you send the exact same letter, right? That has the correct address. Is that what we're nitpicking now?
That's correct. That's correct. So the doctor had to go in and change the address and resubmit the exact same address, exact same letter with the other address for his other location, because
that matches. United
Healthcare was offended by the fact that they chose to use a different address. I mean, listen, I get that, like, like, they're, I guess to their point, they're saying like the other address is not contracted as in network with their insurance company. But at the same time, like, that to me feels like an oversight for the insurance company, because it's like, if the doctor's in network, it really shouldn't matter what you're, and also we're talking about Santa Monica versus Westwood, California. So what are we talking about? A matter of like a 10 minute drive, like 2 miles away. Like, I honestly don't know, just because I'm not really entirely sure where Westwood is, but I know that it is not far.
So yeah, this, like, isn't NorCal to SoCal. It's not different states. It's not even different doctors. County. It's the same doctor who has varying offices.
And the same practice. It's within UCLA, the major college hospital, etc. So, like, that's what I'm saying. It's not like it was, you know, a different practice. Okay, there's some confusion. We need to just clarify. No, all of this for the address to be changed. Now, okay, fine, right? Great, no problem. I'm going to call my primary care doctor and ask them to change the address and have them send this in to you right away. Will that be sufficient? The insurance company says, yes, we will give you 48 hours to resend in this letter before we, you know, again, deny this or whatever and make you jump through more hoops. Fine, 48 hours to have the address changed. No big deal. I'm going to call them right now. Call my primary care doctor, I message them because that's the easiest way to get in touch. I let it go for the whole day because, you know, again, like, they're also a functioning practice. I have to acknowledge that they have other patients. So, like, I didn't hear from them that day. Next morning, I messaged again right when I woke up and just, you know, expressed the further urgency with this deadline. And, you know, can you please call me? They call. And so the assistant calls for my doctor and she's like, you know, I explained to her, yes, it's simply the address that needs to be changed. She's like, I cannot even believe this. Like, we've never dealt with something like this before. I'm like, listen, you and me both. So she's like, let me talk to Dr. I'm not gonna say his name. Let me talk to the doctor, whatever. And I will, you know, I'll get back to you, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, great. You know, this is gonna be taken care of, no big deal. She calls me back a couple hours later. Now, I'm not even going to get into why didn't you convey this very, very necessary and important information to me when we talked on the phone earlier that morning. We're not going to go there because I don't need more frustration right now. Mm-hmm. But I still am wondering this question. She calls me back to tell me that my doctor is on his honeymoon because he just got married and will be away for the next 2 weeks. And he's unable to do the letter for me. So I'm like,
what is the same letter?
I'm like, listen, the letter's already written. He already wrote it and signed it and did everything else. You just need the address changed. And she's like, I don't have access to that. So I'm like, fine, I understand. You're his medical assistant. Like, I understand. Maybe you don't have access to this. What are the options? Because 2 weeks is not an option. Like, the insurance literally said no. What are your options? And she's like, well, let me check with the covering physician for him and see if he'll do it. And I was like, that would be great. All that needs to be changed is the address. Like, it should not be a big deal, you know? She calls me back and she's like, so I talked to so-and-so doctor. He says that he needs you to prove medical necessity for the surgery before he would be comfortable changing the address on your letter. So I repeated myself to her and I said, I'm sorry, the covering physician wants the letter that my primary care doctor already wrote, attested to, and signed off on. He wants me to prove medical necessity to him, someone I do not know, never have seen, never have spoken to, for him to change an address on an already written letter. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, I'm more than happy to meet with him, for him to see my face and to, like, you know, acknowledge that I'm a human, to acknowledge an identity. But whatever you're talking about proving, like, I'm not proving shit to you. Like, I don't even know what that means, but there's no way in hell. So she's like, well, he needs to see you in person. So I'm, you know, without saying anything, I'm getting closer and closer to what I am thinking that they want to see proof of, but no one's outright saying it. So I said, fine, I will come to, like, we have today and tomorrow to do this. I said, I will drive there. I will do whatever needs to be done to get this fucking address changed. So she goes, okay. And she's like looking at his calendar. So he actually doesn't have any appointments till Monday. I'm like, you're going to need to figure this out. We're going to need to figure this out. This is, like, it's an address. We need to figure this out. she's like, let me talk to him and call you back. I'll explain to him. I know, like, and also mind you, she's the one that I've been dealing with for like the last like month and a half with this. So mm-hmm. she's been doing this like every step of the way with me. She's been really great. You know, she knows how like ridiculous and also serious this is. So like, I know she was trying to do her best, but I was like, so she was like, you know, I'll go and talk to him again and express, like, make sure he understands the urgency and all this, like what you've had to deal with, whatever. And I was like, fine. She calls me back. Oh, mind you, towards the end of this phone call, I said, just so you know, whatever proof it is that he's looking for, that's called transphobia. And I just wanted to make that known to you before we hang up the phone. You can also let him know that I said that. And she was like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. I'll let him know. Thank you. And she's like, I'll give you a call back soon, very soon. And she calls back. And when she calls back, she's like, you know, he can fit you in tomorrow at 11:30. And he agreed to do a video appointment so you don't have to come in person. And so what I'm hearing is the word transphobia really scared someone. Yeah. So that's all fine. I'm sitting here trying to figure out, what do I want to do with this? Do I want to call him out? Do I want to not? And this is where I got really sad and also like really choked up, because what I had to sit there and consider was, do I stand up for myself? And do I, draw a boundary and also draw a very clear distinction of what is and is not appropriate, let alone probably illegal in some mm-hmm. way, maybe, I don't know, but at the very least unprofessional and just like, you know, whatever, very disrespectful and probably inappropriate, or do I suck this up and go along basically with whatever it is that he does ask of me, because I need this letter and there's no way around at that point, it was 24-hour deadline. There's no way in a 24-hour deadline I can find another doctor who is going to be able to write a letter for me that is going to be able to be approved in this way. So, which I want to also point out, you know, that's what I've also been feeling this whole time when it comes to the insurance company. You know, like I thought, you know, do I make a TikTok and share what this experience has been and share like how unfair they've treated me? And it's not just me, because I know that this is not just, I'm not the only person that's experienced this. Like there's a lot of us do, but more importantly, do I make a video? Do I contact somebody? Like, what do I do to create like more of an uproar or draw attention to this so that this does not keep happening in the future to us? Or do I shut up and let them do what they're doing in order to get this approved so that I don't have to change all of my plans that I've made? I don't have to cancel my surgery date. I don't have to lose the money on the Airbnb. I don't have to, whatever else needs to be done. Pay my VIP dog sitter to come a different time than when they anticipated staying. Like, you know, just all these things that have to be considered. You know, I took off work, like, you know, everything.
You've been, so, I mean, and it's not only that. I mean, you've been mentally prepping, you've been spiritually yeah. prepping, like all of this to be like, do I have to sacrifice and put up with transphobia completely and just kind of, you know, push that out of my mind and just quote unquote deal with it, because that's just part of it, to, mm-hmm. you know, to ultimately get this? Or do you say enough is enough and fuck you? And exactly. That's so hard. Because so hard. You got to be like, am I risking this person than just saying, you know what, well then fuck you too. What are you going to do? Can I guess report, you know? I guess they have right. boards that you can report them to. But at that point, your surgery's out. You know what I mean? Like that's a yep. process that takes months and years or whatever.
That's exactly it. It's like, yeah, you know, I know that I could speak up. I know there's different routes I could go publicly to draw attention to this and hopefully have something change. But the bottom line is that no matter what, that means no surgery in September, like as planned. And like you said, it's not only the logistical preparation, the financial preparation, but it is also the emotional and spiritual preparation that has been going on for a majority of this year. And to be just in that mental headspace of, you know, okay, in, you know, 1.5 months or, you know, 1 month and 1 week, I'm going to be leaving to go to surgery and this is what's going to happen. And, you know, and to be able to like go through that, it's hard to come away from that and try to look at what that month looks like differently. And also, you know, again, I had my first surgery 4 years ago and, you know, like I have waited this long for a reason. And so to feel very ready emotionally and everything to start this journey again, and then to have to be dealing with all this, it's very frustrating. And it's also very, it's just very upsetting, because it's like constantly kind of having to, you know, like I think we as trans people always feel like we have to prove our manliness or prove our femininity or prove our, you know, non-binary-ness or what, you know, however you want to label it. Like we always feel like we have to try to prove that to everybody else. And in a way, this almost feels like I'm having to do that again. Like I'm having to prove that, you know, this is what being a man for me requires, or this is what being a man feels like, and I don't have that fully yet. And like, you know, so it's there's a lot, and there's a lot of feelings. And then it's, you know, again, it's the frustration of like knowing that no matter what, this situation is both a win-win for me and a lose-lose for me. It's like no matter which route I choose to speak up or to shut up, like I lose and I win at the same time. So it's like, I, at this point, what I've decided is I've been documenting all of it between you and I, or between videos I've taken alone of just talking about what's happening as soon as something happens or as soon as I get news. You know, I'm trying to document every single thing so that after this gets approved, you know, or whatever's going to happen for the September surgery, that I have everything ready, and I'm not going to hold back in sharing that, because it's not fair that I'm only one of many that have to go through this. And it wouldn't be fair for one person to go through this, but it's not fair for anybody to have to go through it. And like, I just think about, you know, like just even the fear of like, they're creating all this problem right now. What happens if there's an emergency afterwards? You know, so it's like, I'm trying not to even go down that path of like feeling like I can't trust those things or whatever, but you know, it's frustrating to not know like what's okay or what's not.
No,
okay.
I mean, you had the rug completely ripped out from under you. And also, you know, like we've been talking about, to have it so far, you know, along in your medical journey, like you already proved all this, you know what I mean? So it's like, what more do you want? You want me to have a video conference with some doctor I've never even met before? Like, for what? Yeah, exactly. For what?
Yeah. Also, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit, because when I did meet with him, he was incredibly nice, and not to cast judgments, but I think gay. And I am wondering if information was, like, again, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. So I'm wondering if information was not conveyed to him properly when it was conveyed to him what was like needing to be done with the letter, mm-hmm. or like something like that. Because the way the amount of kindness he had when I did virtually meet with him, and he even made a point to say, you know, I said to him, I appreciate you fitting me into your schedule last minute. I know it's not easy to do that, mm-hmm. you know, so like, thank you. And he was like, it's not fair that the insurance company would put you through something like this, especially for something such nonsense, you know, like. And he was like kind of speaking to how ridiculous this all was, and was like, you know, so I'm really great. I'm really happy I could help you, or I'm happy I could support that, or something like that. And so like the way he was talking to me was so strange compared to like
what you were expecting it to be.
Yeah, based on the interaction of what the assistant was telling me, like, you know, it was very different of how he ended up showing up. So
like,
you know,
do you want to share like what he even asked to get the approval? Like,
he didn't ask me anything. He literally said to me,
see your face.
I shouldn't talk about that. He literally said to me that, what did he say? He said, for the letter, I believe he said, like, legally, because this is a surgical letter, I had to just meet with you to establish that we have met and established like that we are working together or whatever. He's like, so that I can write this letter. He said, because I can't change the letter as your primary care doctor. Like he didn't specify if this part was for legal reasons or if this was for personal, mm-hmm. like just him, his personal, like being careful type of thing. But he essentially said that like, he couldn't, you know, he can't change the address and give me the letter with my doctor's name still in there saying like, I am so-and-so Nash's primary care doctor. So what he did was he wrote in the letter, like, I am Dr. So-and-so, the active covering physician for Dr. blah, 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 who is the primary care doctor for me. And then he said, I am currently seeing Nash in order to update this letter. So he basically like spelled out what was happening kind of thing. So I think that's why he went, like, that's essentially my understanding of why we needed to do the virtual thing, essentially to have like, you know, a record or, you know, a paper trail that yeah. we had met so that him writing this letter is not fraudulent or it's not a lie or whatever it is. So I think it was, you know, part legal and probably just part like him just being careful to cover, you know.
Yeah, because that makes sense.
That makes sense. It makes sense.
But the not the proving your part. That's what's like, what?
Yes, the proving so maybe, the medical necessity is yeah. not, that's where I had the problem. I never ever had the problem with him saying he needed to like meet with me or yeah. whatever, because I can understand that. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that makes sense. You would need to just like at least acknowledge like, oh, I've seen this person's face. What if, like, let's just say, what if I died in surgery or something and he had to testify in court for mm-hmm. writing the letter? And they showed him a picture of me and said, have you ever seen this person before? And he said, no. And they're like, this is the person you wrote the letter for, approving yeah. them for surgery. Like, you know, and I understand that this is a pretty like extreme example, but I'm just, you know, I think of all the extremes. So like, I'm thinking of, you know, if he's a doctor, he has to think of legal reason, like legal things and whatever. So, you know, that made sense to me. That part made sense to me. I never had a problem with that. That's why I said, tell me what time and I'll, you know, I will drive there. I will mm-hmm. leave where I am and come there. I don't care when. Because I was certainly understanding that it was more of the whole like examine to prove medical yeah. medical necessity. Like, no, you don't need to see my floppy peepee. Like, that's
don't need to see Paula.
Yeah, like medical necessity. Look at me. I look like a fucking man. I act like I tell you I'm a man. That should be all the medical necessity that you need is me telling you who I am and what you're seeing in front of you, aligning with that. You know, like. And even if it didn't align with it, okay, I'm still telling you. So just like fuck off.
Yeah, right.
You know,
just like, change the address.
So anyway, he wrote the letter, got the letter from him. We sent it in to the insurance company. That was on Friday, on deadline day. Simultaneously, okay. Dr. Chen sent in the three letters on deadline day. So everything D-day. Was sent in D-Day. Yeah, D-Day. So everything was sent in last Friday. So we mm-hmm. Tomorrow will be a week. So a week ago. And then simultaneously now the further update is that everything sent in. Dr. Chen scheduled what is called a peer-to-peer medical review, which my understanding is it's like a fail-safe or it's like a plan B. Excuse you. It's like a plan B. So basically what I understand is between Friday when the papers were sent in mm-hmm. and August 11th, which is when my peer-to-peer review is scheduled. So that was, I believe it was a 2-week time frame. In between those 11 days, the insurance company can choose to approve surgery with the documentation they have now. They can't deny me based on the documentation they have now, but they can approve me.
Okay.
If they choose not to approve based on what they have, then on August 10th or 11th, whatever day it was, Dr. Chen has this peer-to-peer review with the doctor, and it's the medical doctor that's works with my insurance company. And basically Dr. Chen will meet with him virtually and essentially plead my case, mm-hmm. explain, you know, why this should be covered, you know, why it's unfair that it's not being me as a person, you know, anything Dr. Chen has to attest to as me as a person and what my experience was with transitioning or surgery, etc. He will do all that. So basically Dr. Chen is kind of going to like virtual court or whatever and like, you know, fighting for me for this surgery. So that will happen on the 11th or the 10th. And then basically after, my understanding is that within like a couple of days after that takes place, that's when we should have like the final verdict. Yes or no. The verdict.
Oh my God.
So.
Which would be like a couple weeks out from your date, right?
It will literally be like a month, just about a month ahead of my surgery. So the good of this is if they deny it, I at least have enough time to cancel my Airbnb to hopefully get some of that money yeah. back. So that's one positive. Second positive is I'm going to be driving up there, not flying. So there's at least not a plane ticket that I have to deal with. Mm-hmm. But if it gets canceled, I think I don't know what I will do. I don't know. I'm kind of at that point of like, I don't know if that means I just don't do this. I don't know if it means like I just reschedule right away. Like, I don't
know. There's got to be an appeal process.
There's an appeal process for sure. I believe you could appeal like pretty quickly, but again, it's like, you know, how long do they draw that out, et cetera, et cetera. So
it's wild that they should have documentation whenever you signed up for this plan and made sure that all of this shit was going to be covered, because then on what grounds are you denying this? Transphobic shit? Like what are you denying this for?
So this is the other thing, which we can't, you know, I haven't gotten a firm answer on, but it is like a theory that I came up with, and it seems like everybody kind of agrees with, it could be what's happening too, is that because, I just lost my train of thought because of her.
Sorry.
So cute. No, you're good. Sin's cat just like climbed on their head, like being adorable.
What's your theory? What's your investigative hat telling you?
Oh, my theory. So my theory is, up until earlier this year, meaning when I started doing, you know, the stage two prep with insurance, etc., I had a different insurance. It was the same insurance company, United Healthcare, but I had a different insurance plan, and it was underneath my parents' company, their business. And it was the same insurance that I had been under for years and years and years. And it was the insurance that covered my stage one, my hysterectomy, et cetera. My theory is, because I switched insurances, and because insurance is so freaking unorganized and not capable.
It's fucked.
because of that, they don't the different like branches, or whatever you want to call them, the different plans underneath United Healthcare don't speak to one another. So my current plan does not know any of my medical history in terms of like what surgeries I've had or what's been covered, et cetera, aside from what's being documented in the letters that I just sent them. So, you know, like I'm trying to think of like all the options of what could have been going wrong. And also, like, I don't want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I am a fair person. So I'm like a little bit giving them the benefit of the doubt that maybe it's simply one of those things where, like, because they just don't have the paperwork that they would have had if I stayed with the same company, you know, I'm like essentially starting over, where like, you don't have to give a lot of documentation, having to like jump through hoops and stuff like that. This is what I had to do the first time around to some extent. But the difference was that where Dr. Chen was practicing out of at that point was Brownstein and Crane, and Brownstein and Crane had their own internal insurance department built in, where like their job was basically to handle all this. But I think like as things were happening, or before things happened. So like, I didn't even know that things were going on. Like I basically was like I could have been denied 5 times for my stage one.
But you didn't have to deal with it.
I didn't have to deal with it. So, and also granted, like my primary care doctor at the time, like all that stuff was smoothed out. It was like the same doctor I had for years. You know, everything was kind of very much established leading into my stage one. Whereas this, I'm in a new state. You know, I moved from Seattle to California. When I had my stage one, I lived in Seattle. Now I'm living in California. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's in his own practice. He's in Northern California in San Francisco. You know, my primary care doctor changed from a doctor in New Jersey to a doctor in California. My employer changed from New Jersey to Washington. You know, so there's all these things that have shifted. So, you know, I'm trying to be understanding of the fact that like, I don't like the way that this has all been handled with them, and the lack of one, transparency, the lack of honesty, the lack of communication, the lack of a lot of things on the insurance company's part. But however, I do understand that maybe in one way, this is simply like, the document, they haven't gotten what they fully needed. The documentation is not there yet. Like, and it's more of just kind of like marking, you know, checking boxes, crossing things off the to-do list. Okay. Mm-hmm. We need to see his, they haven't asked for this, but this is just what popped in my head. Like, okay, we need to see his name change, you know, like mm-hmm. that's not anything that's happened, but like, just, you know, maybe it's just kind of like, yeah, marking the boxes the same as we would fill out paperwork at a doctor's office.
Like every time you get, I'm sure a lot of us can relate, every time you get a new HRT doctor, the same fucking same intake questions every time. Like, God damn, I've been on hormones for how many years? Can you just give me my shit?
Totally. Like, you know, yeah, I hear you. So, you know, it's, I'm trying to be understanding of what that process might be. And like, you know, and maybe it's just, again, crossing off those boxes. Once they get everything, we're good to go. This isn't a problem. So
that's going to be. They just fingers crossed. See the papers.
I'm just trying to trust that, like, if this does get denied, there's some really, 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 really important reason that it had to be denied, mm-hmm. you know, like whatever that is. So I'm just trying to, you know, be positive, let this be what it is. We got another, what, like 7 days, I think, until I get an answer or something. So
one way or another, yeah.
One way or another. So we'll see. I guess if I'm not having surgery in September, maybe we'll go somewhere because I have 2 weeks off of work, I guess.
There you go. You already got a VIP dog sitter.
I don't know. I'm so tired. but yeah, so that's kind of the update for now. So we'll do another one next week, you know, when I have more of an idea of what's happening. But for now, it's like, yeah, you know, same thing, like shout out to Dr. Chen for like running it and like getting it all done in record time. And like, shout out to the psychologist and the therapist, like a big acknowledgement of the fact that it is really dope that when all this stuff was like thrown at me, like a fucking roller coaster of trash, like bombarding me across the face, that all these people who really didn't need to, don't owe me anything, aren't required to, etc., but all like pretty quickly and without hesitation, like stepped up to help me and support me. And like, that's pretty cool. So my therapist said I have to focus on that because that's really dope. So I'm focusing really on dope. How dope it is that I had a lot of people like, yeah, step up for me. So that's really cool. But deep breaths.
We're gonna focus on that. Yeah.
We're gonna focus on that one day at a time. And
hey, third time's a charm, right? So yeah. The next update, it's gonna be a good one.
Next update will be a good one. And that's it.
And that's it.
That's it. That's it. So yeah. Thanks for listening to my what did we call it last time? We called it something like trans medical drama. We called it something funny, but anyway, yeah, thanks for joining me on this fun journey. and if anybody else has experienced anything like this, like let us know, or you know, if you have any ideas, if you have any suggestions for other people that might have to go through this, like things that can help, you know, resources,
drop some resources. Knowledge, please. If you know the secret language of insurance,
yeah, the more you know,
let us know.
The more you know.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of the Transitional Wisdom Podcast. If you'd like to share your own story or have a topic you want us to discuss or simply just want to show your support, you can head over to transitionalwisdom.org. That's transitionalwisdom.org. We do have some pretty sweet merchandise up for grabs right now. We have our logo mug and also some sticker packs. We are a completely independent production, so every dollar, review, like, subscription, etc., it truly does go a long way to helping us keep going. Today's little bit of wisdom is this. No one likes an invasive succulent. Don't be an invasive succulent. Transitional Wisdom is created and produced by Nash Azarian, co-hosted by me, C, original theme song by Janelle Mack. You can find more of Janelle's music and info on her upcoming performances on Instagram at She's an Aquarius. One last thing, listeners, thank you.
Who knew this would happen? A magic potion could save my heart. Who knew that these feelings had a name? I'm worthy of change, same as you are. Mirror, mirror, don't you judge me. Don't you dare. Who knew I was capable of loving? Who was there? Staring back, I said staring back. I love